I watched from the Wind Viper's prow as the ship's crews hurried ashore and pulled on leather or mail. What did those Mercians see? They saw young men with wild hair, wild beards and hungry faces, men who embraced battle like a lover. If the Danes could not fight an enemy, they fought among themselves. Most had nothing but monstrous pride, battle scars and well-sharpened weapons, and with those things, they would take whatever they wanted. And that Mercian shield wall did not even stay to contest the fight. But once they saw they would be outnumbered, they ran away to the mocking howls of Ragnar's men, who then stripped off their mail and leather and used their axes and the Wind Viper's hide-twisted ropes to clear away the fallen trees. It took a few hours to unblock the river, but then we were moving again. That night the ships clustered together on the riverbank. Fires were lit ashore, men were posted as sentries, and every sleeping warrior kept his weapons beside him. But no one troubled us, and at dawn we moved on, soon coming to a town with thick earthen walls and a high palisade. This, Ragnar assumed, was the place the Mercians had failed to defend, but there seemed to be no sign of any soldiers on the wall, so he ran the boat ashore again and led his crew toward the town. The earth walls and timber palisade were both in good condition, and Ragnar marveled that the town's garrison had chosen to march downriver to fight us, rather than stay behind their well-tended defences. The Mercian soldiers were plainly gone now, probably fled south, for the gates were open and a dozen townsfolk were kneeling outside the wooden arch and holding out supplicant hands for mercy. Three of the terrified people were monks, their tonsured heads bowed. "I hate monks," Ragnar said cheerfully. His sword, Heartbreaker, was in his hand, and he swept her naked blade in a hissing arc. "Why?" I asked. "Monks are like ants," he said, "wriggling about in black, being useless. I hate them. You'll speak for me, Uhtred. Ask them what place this is." I asked, and learned that the town was called Genjesbur. "Tell them," Ragnar instructed me, "that my name is Earl Ragnar. I am called the Fearless, and that I eat children when I'm not given food and silver." I duly told them. The kneeling men looked up at Ragnar, who had unbound his hair, which, had they known, was always a sign that he was in a mood for killing. His grinning men made a line behind him, a line heavy with axes, swords, spears, shields, and warhammers. "What food there is," I translated a grey-bearded man's answer, "is yours, but he says there's not much food." Ragnar smiled at that, stepped forward, and still smiling, swung Heartbreaker so that her blade half severed the man's head. I jumped back, not in alarm, but because I did not want my tunic spattered with his blood. "One less mouth to feed," Ragnar said cheerfully. "Now, ask the others how much food there is." The grey-bearded man was now red-bearded, and he was choking and twitching as he died. His struggles slowly ended, and then he just lay, dying, his eyes gazing reprovingly into mine. None of his companions tried to help him. They were too frightened. "How much food do you have?" I demanded.
"There is food, Lord,"
one of the monks said. "How much?" I demanded again.
"Enough."
"He says there's enough," I told Ragnar,